You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Cool. So today, for our regular segment with the Green Party, I spoke to Chloe Swarbrick because James Shaw is still away. Wellington anniversary day and all that. So I talked to Chloe today a little bit about mental health and the housing crisis and how the housing crisis is affecting young people and their mental health. So here is Chloe.
The New Zealand University Students Association has just released a report sort of going over the idea that the housing crisis that is by now affecting all of New Zealand is deeply affecting students' well-being and mental health. What is your opinion on this?
Yeah, so this is deeply reflective of one of the many points raised in the Mental Health and Addictions Inquiry Report, which was released towards the end of last year. One of the key themes in that report, noting, of course, that the terms of reference in going into producing that report, the board was required to look not just at the mental health system or the health system in general, but also at the driving factors and causes of mental ill health and stress and obviously the likes of substance abuse, dependency and addiction amongst people. And one of the major themes that they picked up on is that the environments that people are in are incredibly conducive to people experiencing mental distress. One of the major driving factors is the likes of poverty, transience, the quality of housing, the quality of education, the quality of relationships and community. And what you find, of course, is that when people don't have secure, stable housing, let alone healthy homes, and they are having to move around a lot, they're less likely to know their neighbours, they're less likely to form communities, which means they're less likely to feel a sense of place, purpose, belonging, identity, all of those kind of key things that, you know, if you were to look at it in a philosophical sense, kind of, you know, sit at the peak of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, but in a human social sense, in modern day Aotearoa New Zealand, you would expect that most people would somewhat, you know, kind of be entitled to and have a right to feel a sense of belonging and to have stable and secure housing.
Today, there was a report that was released by the annual Demographia International Housing Affordability Study, which basically said that most of the major cities in New Zealand are completely unaffordable. How is that going to, obviously that's affecting students with renting and flatting now, but do you think that's going to have a greater effect on these students that are already feeling underwhelmed by their possibility of renting a house to be able to ever be able to buy a house?
Yeah, so we know, you know, it was the former president of NZUSA who said that students are the only kind of demographic in society who are expected to borrow in order to live. So I think that when you're talking about things like the housing crisis, they do adversely, disproportionately affect the likes of students because there's already such financial stress and strain. And a few months ago, I did a tour around eight of the New Zealand University campuses and found, speaking to students, you know, kind of putting all of the questions and the issues that they raised into two camps, one of which was a summary of the issues that were driving mental ill health and stress, and on the other side of things, potential solutions, was that for so many people, they feel as though financial instability and insecurity has been so normalised now that, you know, the concept of being broke, it's actually more so a concept of being poor.
That's such a true. True, because it's just it's constantly reported in the media that, you know, we're never going to be able to buy a house, and so everybody's just, it feels like you just sort of have to accept that, and you're not ever, you know, you're going to have to accept the fact that you can buy all the avocados you like and or not, and still not be able to afford a house, which is disappointing.
The avocado trope is an interesting one, right?
Yeah,
because to me, it particularly speaks to the notion or the idea. I mean, what is at the core of it, particularly from those more conservative commentators, is that young people nowadays are supposedly living it up large, which means that they're spending all of their savings and they're not able to.
And they're consumers and are just, you know, wasting all their time.
And if you look at the reality of the economic situation faced by most young people, it's completely the opposite of that. In fact, regardless of whether you weren't to buy those avocados or those flat whites or whatever trope you want to buy into, the financial reality is simply that you could not scrape together the money required for, putting down that capital towards getting a mortgage. So I think that there's a really interesting kind of stereotype that we have to really dig into, which is the classic one that poor people people, young people don't deserve luxuries. And those little small things are the things that make life worth living, right? And there's a huge correlation, actually, to what we saw with beneficiary bashing several years ago, particularly in, you know, the major news outlets, where it was said that, you know, beneficiaries or people who are, you know, on the poorer levels in our society shouldn't be able to engage in having any form of fun, which, again, is just another thing which drives up stress, drives down that ability to connect with other people, because often if you think about when you're going out to meet friends, typically it's for a drink or it's for a coffee, and there is some exchange of money in order to participate in those kinds of social situations. So what we're ultimately saying when we say that young people shouldn't be buying coffee or avocados is that they shouldn't be participating in society, which again further serves to compound that stress and strain and drive up that isolation and trauma, which are the two driving factors of mental ill health. So as you can see, it's a really complex issue, but fundamentally getting to the point that was raised in the NZUSA release put out today about the cost of living, that's one of the major things that we absolutely have to drive down and to nail and to focus on as a government in the next 2 years. And, you know, as has been said, I'm sure, by multiple politicians who you've interviewed, we're never going to be able to fix, you know, a decade plus of neglect in the space of 12 months. But there absolutely has to be this continual pushing and driving to account, because, you know, that's the purpose of a democratic society. So it's already been raised, as was put forward in that press release, that there have been changes, obviously, to letting fees. There are some big opportunities when it comes to healthy homes legislation. But the Greens, towards the end of last year, our co-leader, Marama Davidson, called for a mandatory warrant of fitness, which I think would be another piece of the puzzle towards ensuring that people are actually living in healthy homes, because we need to make sure that good landlords aren't the anomaly, but the...
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.